He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So continuing on the series that we began last week, remember we're doing a series on the seven sacraments, going through them so that we can begin to understand how God wants us to enter into his divine life. And so because today we talk about this great gift that Jesus, when he called his disciples, they came to him and became his first priests, I think it's appropriate for us to take a look at the holy priesthood, this great sacrament which we have of holy orders, where priests and deacons become consecrated to God in such a way that they can give us the grace God wants to have in his church. And so what I want to do is I have 5 points that I want to cover in you over this next hour of the homily. Okay, somebody caught. I'm not going to talk for an hour. It's going to be about 15 minutes. But we're going to go really quickly to go through it 5 points. I want to review what we did last week. We went over what sacraments are. So we need the definitions and all of that in 3 points. But then I want to move from there to be able to find out what those foundational principles are of priesthood. A priesthood. And then thirdly, to take a look at what the function and the very essence, the very center of what it means to be a priest. And then fourthly, say, like we always, what does it matter to us? How does it affect our lives to have the priesthood? And then I want to make an impassioned plea to each one of you. So let's begin with that. General things about sacraments. What is a definition of a sacrament? I gave you a bunch of them, didn't I? A sacrament, just put plainly, is a visible sign of an inward transformation instituted by Jesus Christ himself that gives us grace. Grace being the divine life of God placed within us. That's why he gives us those sacraments. But then we need to recognize that, yeah, sacraments are a sign, but they're extraordinary signs. They're not like any other signs that we have, because what they signify, they actually do. They actually produce a change in our lives. Like last week when Javen wasn't here, I talked about Javen and you experienced baptism, right? And when you receive that baptism, you actually got cleansed. Water hit your face, water hit your body, but it actually hit your soul with the Holy Spirit and changed everything. That's why you were dancing around over here. You said, "Father, I don't want to leave. I just want to be here because everything's new." Because you even felt within your own body that you were a son of God from this moment forward, which you weren't before. That's what sacraments do. They actually change us. And the third point about sacraments is that they're not magic. Sacraments aren't magical things. We have to be disposed to them. And if we're not disposed to receive the grace that God wants to give us, it ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to work right there. God, in every sacrament, wants to give us a life-changing, reality-altering grace. But we got to be open to it. Because if we're not, nothing's going to happen. Just like the common example, the most common in my life, was when I was a young man, like some of you young people are, come every Sunday down to receive Jesus. I'd approach him, stick out my tongue, have him, and you know what the next thought in my mind was? What's going on in the Patriots-Steelers game? What's going on over there? So I was not open to the grace. It didn't do anything for me because I blocked the grace. What I should have been done when I was coming down there said, "God, I'm getting closer to you. I'm in awe that you want to give yourself to me. I want to receive whatever it is that you want to give me because you're going to change my life." And if I did, my life would have been changed. And right now, I might be a holier priest. Sacraments aren't magic. We have to be open to them. We have two choices set before us when we receive a sacrament. Either we can not care about it when we approach it and nothing's going to happen. An empty ritual is what it becomes for us. Or we can be in awe of the mystery that God wants to present to us and lay hold of the grace that we need in our lives to achieve salvation. Because that's why God gives us sacraments. So that's all review of what we went over yesterday. But I want to delve specifically into the priesthood today and begin by looking at our second point. There's a crucial thing that we need to understand in order to understand what the priesthood is. Namely, there's only one priest. One. A single priest. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's not Father Burnaby. Jesus Christ is the one great high priest. And everyone here who is baptized, each one of you are priests. Because of your baptism. Javen, you know you're a priest. Anna, you're a priest too. Justin, you're a priest. I don't know, are you baptized, young lady? If you are, You're a priest too. And I was a priest even before I was ordained, because I was first baptized in the general priesthood, which means that each one of us who are baptized have a great special relationship. Just like every priest, we have special access to God the Father because of it. Special reason to be heard, special closeness to Him. We're His sons and daughters, right? But secondarily, as priests, we also have the invitation from God to offer sacrifice. Specifically, the sacrifice of our lives, the difficulties, the struggles which we have, to offer them up just like a priest. Now, there are things called ordained priests and baptized priests. Well, ordained priests like me, like Father Sotero in Santa Rosa, like Father Simon Carrion way off there in Clovis, or even Archbishop John Charles Wester, who's priest, high priest of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, we're all ordained ministers, ordained priests in the ministerial priesthood. And the reason why God gives us the ministerial priesthood is this: so that we can serve all you other priests. So we can bring you into a deeper relationship from God through the sacraments that God can use us, ordering us more and more to Himself. So the whole purpose of me being a priest is to help each one of you who are out there in the general priesthood to achieve the goal for which God created you, for which God made you. And as Sienna Catherine will tell you, God made us to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this life so that we can really be happy with Him forever in the life which is to come. That's why I'm a priest. To put it simply, the ministry of priesthood is here to help you become holy, to help you become saints, because that's why God made you. Now, that's the second point. But the third point we need to look at is, what is the function, what is the essence of the priesthood, of being a priest? And it's this. It's this. The essence of the priesthood is to be a mediator between God and humanity. To be a go-between. And remember, how many priests are there? There's only one priest, Jesus Christ. And so I'm talking about Him. I'm not talking about Father Burnaby. Jesus Christ is the one high priest who is the go-between between us and the Father. Because He is 100% God and 100% man at the same time, no commingling. Because of that, He's the perfect bridge between God and humanity, where the two can meet. And that's what a priest is supposed to be, a mediator between God and man. And so when I am a priest, as a ministerial priest, I share, have a participation in Jesus Christ's one priesthood, so that I can be a mediator between you and Him in a lesser way, because He allows me to through His ordained ministry. So the essence of the priesthood then is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And when I say that word sacrifice, what are some of the things that come to your mind? What are you thinking about when I say sacrifice? Yeah, you're thinking about burnt offerings or things like that. You're thinking about maybe the sacrifice that you have to do to go and shovel that snow early in the morning, or when you have to get up in the morning to be able to do those extra wind sprints after practice or whatever to train. We think of that as sacrifice because it's painful, because it hurts. Because the stuff we have to expend in order to do it is a sacrifice. Or maybe we're thinking of Lent, those things that we give up. Maybe it's sweets. We think of those things as sacrifice, those penances. But I tell you what, that's not what sacrifice is. Sacrifice in its essence is something different. Sacrifice in its essence, the very word sacrament means to make holy. That's what a sacrifice is. To sacrifice something is to make something holy. That's what the word means, sacra facere, meaning sacra, sagrada, to make holy, and facere, hacer, to make it holy. And so when we offer a sacrifice, the act of offering a sacrifice is to make something holy. And so that's what God wants to make present to us in His great sacraments. He wants to make present to us His holiness. A priest offers sacrifices so that the recipients of the sacrifice, those who receive the sacraments, are themselves made holy so they can become saints. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? Remember that passage, right? It says, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God the Father, which is our reasonable act of worship, the way in which we worship God by offering ourselves as sacrifices because we're priests. Now, there's a difficulty with that, isn't there? In the Old Testament, as Gabriel pointed out, What they do, they went up to the altar, the Old Testament priests, they go up to the altar, and what would they offer as a sacrifice? Goats, right? They'd offer goats, they'd offer doves, they'd offer bulls and lambs. They'd offer these animals, and then when they'd slay them, they'd take their blood, and then they'd do it over the people like I would do holy water over you. And if I were to do that right now, if I were to crack open an animal, crack open a lamb and spread its blood all over you, I could do that all day long. It's not going to change you. It's not going to change who you are. You're just going to get dirty. So that's a different thing. But what if that lamb that was cut open was not just any other lamb? What if that lamb that was split open happened to also be God in man, and his blood was scattered over you? That changes it, doesn't it? Because the blood of God changes reality. John the Baptist, remember last week, he said, "Behold there, that one who's passing by is the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sins of the world." Listen to him. When he pointed that out, he was hearkening back to Exodus chapter 12. And what happens in Exodus chapter 12? You know, it's really important for us to know who Jesus really is, to know what was going on in Exodus chapter 12, because it points out Jesus Christ as the true Lamb of God, the Lamb that everybody was looking for. Remember that movie Prince of Egypt, with that great cartoon movie? I watch it with my nieces and nephews a little bit. Or maybe you remember the Charlton Heston movie where the Ten Commandments, where everybody just walked through that wall of water and destroyed the Egyptians behind them. What happened right before that? Do you remember? Because that's the moment. Not just the fire, but even before that. What happened there in Exodus chapter 12 is formative for who Jesus Christ really is. What God told is, he said, "You Israelites, go find a one-year-old male lamb without blemish, perfect. Slaughter it. Take the blood of that animal and spread it upon the doorposts of your house. Then after that, eat the lamb." You know, the scriptures is at pains to say that you got to eat that lamb. Not just splatter its blood, you got to eat the lamb. It says it five times over and over again, eat the lamb. Why? I'll tell you why. The reason why you got to eat the lamb is because when you eat the lamb, you come into communion with that sacrifice that was offered to save your life, to save your soul. When you eat it, you take part in what the act is doing, not just outside of you, but interiorly. And you know, that's what happened on the cross. And that's what happens here. Each and every day, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is being offered when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. We have a share in his life. That's why sacraments matter. The fourth point. Why is the priesthood important to us? What does it do for us? You know, that every time that we approach the Eucharist, we're actually feeding on the one high priest who sacrificed himself for us so that we can live both now and forever. And we should be mindful as we're receiving these sacraments of two things. First, got to be grateful. You know, God is giving himself to us. Amazing gift. But secondly, we should be recognizing that he who died didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And the resurrection makes a difference. Because when we receive the Eucharist, receiving Jesus Christ resurrected. And in his resurrection, there is power. And where there is the power of God, there is power to change our lives and to change everything about us. If we receive him worthily, gainfully, it can change us. How many of us are struggling? Nobody raise your hands. How many of you are struggling with anything? Anything in your life? You know, there's some people here who are struggling because they have various cancers that are attacking their body. Some people here have lost loved ones recently, mourning over that. There are some who are wondering, what is that next step that God is calling me to in my life, who are fearful of the various things that are approaching them. God, where are you calling me to college? Am I even going to make it? Are my grades good enough? Some people here are really wondering, how is it, God, that I'm going to find the strength to meet the task that you've laid before me? I'm not strong enough. How can I do it? And where are you going to get the answer? To whom are you seeking for help? When we're in that situation, What we need to recognize is that over and over again, that the essence of Christianity isn't about trying harder. It's not about doing more. The essence of Christianity is about laying hold of power. The power of God, His divine life, His grace, which He's already trying to give it to us. And He gives us it how? In the sacraments. So that we can see Him, so that we can touch Him, so that we can taste Him, so that we can hear Him, so that we can even smell Him. That's why God gives us the sacraments. He gives us so we can touch His grace. And now I want to make a plea. I want to make a plea to each and every one of you, because St. John Chrysostom was a saint in the early times of the church. When he was talking about the priesthood, this is what he said. He said, the office of the priesthood doesn't demand leading men into battle. It demands the virtue of an angel. Break that down for you. Being a priest is not about being able to lead people courageously to brave a difficulty, even the difficulty of fighting against Satan, the flesh, or the world. It's actually about being a holy example. Being like an angel, perfect. And so being a priest, whether that's me as your pastor or Father Sotero in Santa Rosa or the Archbishop or Father Carrion away off in Clovis, what's set before us is a task that we're never ever going to be able to accomplish. We're never going to be good enough for what we're called to do. You know, St. John of Avila puts it even more deeply, and it cuts me every time I hear it. He said that so many and so great are the obligations of a pastor, of a priest, that if he fulfills even just a third part of what he is called to do and to be, his people are going to call him a saint, going to revere his holiness. But if he's only satisfied with fulfilling a third part of what he's called to do, his own soul is going to be in danger of hellfire. Brothers and sisters, nobody here is calling me a saint. The priesthood is hard and difficult. And that is why being a priest is dangerous. But if I'm able to bring you in a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, to have a deeper way of encountering Him and His sacraments that He wants to give you His grace in, then it's absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth being put at such great danger. We priests desperately need your prayers. Desperately need you. Because all priests, especially your pastor, very imperfect. Very unable to live up to the high call which God has called me in Christ Jesus. To be like Him. I gotta be like an angel in heaven. And I'm not. But I want to, so I can bring Jesus to you in a more radical way. To let God's grace pass through me as His ministerial priest to each one of you who are also called priests in your baptism. You got to pray for us. You got to pray for us. So that we can offer the sacrifice of the one priesthood of Jesus Christ to you. So that you can be what God has made you to be. Holy saints. We need your prayers. And that's why I selfishly printed out some prayers for you to pray for me and for all priests. Because as it says at the very bottom of this, some white-collar jobs are more difficult than others. And I need your prayers. Please, pray for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.